Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
You're going to have to use your Bibles today because we're going to be flipping around to different verses in looking at the virtue of love. I want to talk a little bit about what the word virtue means, but I'm actually going to save the definition to the end of the service because I want us to look at love and what it is. We've been talking a lot about living our Christianity from the inside. Love is not a particular kind of action. And so I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Sometimes we're mistaken when we look at love. We think that it's about behaving in a certain way. In other words, doing certain things that are loving. And I don't think that's what the Bible teaches about love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here Paul gets into a long list of good things that Christians do. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong, I'm a clanging cymbal. He says, if I have prophetic powers, if I understand all mysteries and knowledge, if I have faith so that I can remove mountains but not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, deliver my body up to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Speak in tongues, spiritual person. I have prophetic powers. I'm a sacrificing person. I give up everything I have for other people. See, these actions don't indicate love. God doesn't necessarily want us to do anything, per se. He wants us to be something. And so when we look at love, love is about being a certain type of person on the inside. Because, look at this. Love is patient. First one. Can you give away all that you have to the poor and be impatient? Yes. Can you prophesy and be impatient? Can you have the faith that moves mountains and be impatient? Yes. Well, then you don't have love because love is patient. It's not necessarily about doing a particular action. Remember, people always think it's about doing. It's about works. It's about this. On the day of judgment, Jesus, didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? And Jesus said, I didn't really know you. He knows us on the inside out. And when he knows us inside, the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We will become patient. When you're living on the inside, you will become patient. Love also is always kind. Love doesn't envy anybody. Love never boasts. Love isn't arrogant. The word arrogant refers to presumption and never presumes to know much or know too much about the future. It's not rude. It's not intent on its own way. Love doesn't keep any record of things that are done that are wrong, but it rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. Love endures all things. Love is an attitude of the heart that I have, whether I do anything or not. I am becoming a certain type of person on the inside. It's so important when we look at virtue that we recognize that it's not about these outward actions, but it's about this internal heart change that results in actions. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. This is the Beatitudes. Jesus talks about prayer, talks about fasting, talks a lot about hypocrisy in here, but he talks about us living from the inside out. But he does it in a very interesting way. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse number 18, I think. I'm going to flip over here so I can actually read this. Matthew chapter 6, looking at verse 18, I believe. Starting with verse 19, it says, "Do not hopefully that's not anything about a clanging gong. I don't like that noise there. Got to make sure I preach in love and not become that. But it's making me patient, so maybe that's a good thing. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where the thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither the moth nor the rust, where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Virtue comes from the heart, and it comes from putting the heart in the right place, setting the heart on the right things. And when our heart or our treasure is in the right place, on the right things, out of us comes flowing this patient life, this virtuous life, this godly life. But look at what it goes on to say here. It's very interesting. It's talking about not storing up your treasures in heaven, but then it breaks into this dissertation about the eyes and about the lamp. And it almost doesn't seem to fit because it's squished in between verses about material things, but it really is a verse that deals with having our eyes not set on material things, but on heavenly things. Look what it says here. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if the eye is healthy, the whole body is full of light. But if the eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If your eye is set on the things of heaven, there is great light, great illumination, great understanding that comes into your life. If your eyes are set on material things, set on this earth, set on the things about this earth, what is going to happen is you're going to have inner darkness. There's going to be an inner darkness. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other. Either he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So if your eyes are set on heaven, set on God, set on His kingdom, you're going to be full of light. But there's going to be one more attribute here. That if your eyes are set on heaven, you're full of light, you aren't going to be anxious about your life. Why? Because you're not looking at your life as being about things, as being about storing up monetary things. Look what it says, do not be anxious, therefore, about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, your body, what you're going to put on. Don't be concerned about that. Don't set your eyes on that. Don't store up treasures on that. Why? Because God has all of that under control. Final verse here in Matthew 6, verse 32. For the Gentiles seek these things. The Gentiles are about these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need these things, but don't put your eyes there. Put your eyes in heaven. Seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and then God will add all these things unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Do not be anxious, for tomorrow has enough anxiety in itself, sufficient trouble. What he's saying is here is that when my eyes are set on heaven, set on His kingdom, I know God's going to take care of me, and I am full of light to do the work. When I get anxious, it's a clear indication that I have set my eyes on this earth, that I've become consumed about the things here. I mentioned that as we looked at these virtues, we were going to occasionally look at spiritual writers. And I want to look at some things that Martin Luther said about the spiritual life. In regards to the inner person. Luther talked a lot about living in the inner person and having spiritual eyes. But what he said was very interesting. He never struck me as being overly mystical. But what he said is that we have two eyes. One of our eyes, our right eye, should always be set on heaven. And our left eye should always be set on the earth. Keep your eye in heaven, with one eye on heaven, one eye on earth. And then somehow you live up here, but you operate down here. But you're living out of that emphasis on the right eye. He talks about it in the context of Jesus. And here's what he says about Jesus when he was hanging on the cross. Thus Christ's inner being, its vision through the soul of the right eye, was always participating in full measure in His divine nature and in complete bliss and joy. In other words, Jesus always kept His right eye on heaven. He was in complete bliss. He was in complete joy. But the outer person, His left eye, was involved in full measure in the suffering, in the distress, in the travail that took place. But he says the inner eye remained unmoved, unimpeded, untouched in all these travails and all these sufferings and all these torments that the outer person had to deal with. In other words, because he had that eye on heaven, whatever he experienced here on the earth in the way of suffering, pain, it was unmoved because he had his eye set on heaven. And this is the life. This is the virtuous life, is that my eye is set on the things of the kingdom and on God, and therefore patience, love, all these things are flowing through me regardless of what is happening around me. The inner person has total dominance in my life. I want to look at another verse of Scripture that's found in 1 John. Because, we're looking at this virtue of love. And I want to show you what perfect love looks like. This is 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. John is talking about what perfect love looks like. And he says, "Whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says that he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Perfection happens when love is perfected when I, out of the inward man, do what God requires of me in my life. Now, I once said this, and the greatest definition of love is this. It's to do what is needed in any given time. I do what is needed in any given time. So the question is, how do I know what's needed? You could come in here, you could have a great need, you could come to me and say, "Can you meet this need?" And you might need a jacket. And maybe I give you a jacket, but maybe that's not exactly your greatest need. Maybe your greatest need is something that deals with your inability to be able to work with people or whatever. And so I have to know what your need is so I can actually minister to that need. I believe every Christian is gifted with a particular gift that allows them to love others through this gift. How do I know this? Peter claimed that he loved Jesus, loved him with all of his heart. So here's what Jesus says to Peter when he restores him back into the ministry. And this is found in the Gospel of John. Yeah, I guess you can turn there if you want. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And most of us know this, so you don't necessarily have to turn there. He says to Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And so Jesus says, "If you love me, feed my lambs." In other words, love me by doing your service, what your gifting is, what your calling is to the body of Christ. You love me, then feed. You love me, then teach my people. Okay, you're saying you love. Here's your gift. Do this in order to show your love. Remember, we love God by doing what He says. He said it three times. If you love me, tend my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. And then he goes on to say, if you're actually looking at it, John 21, he says, "Truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." In other words, the crucified life is laying my desire down, my kingdom down, my will down, my way down. I'm just going to lay down. I'm going to lay everything down, and the only thing I'm going to do is what the kingdom of God instructs me to do in the way of my gifting. You love me, serve this way. You used to do what you want, but now that you're old, you're going to do what I want. We love God based out of this inward calling. Remember that they told the apostles that there was a great need, that they needed more help in serving tables, right? Remember this? This is the story of how we got our deacons. They came to the apostles and they said, listen, we have an issue here. We want more help. We want you to help us serve tables. And Peter remembers that his His thing of love is not to serve tables. I'm not going to get in there and serve tables because that's not how I'm loving you. He remembers even the words of Jesus when he says, if you love me, you'll feed my lambs. This is how you'll love me. This is how you'll love other people. Listen to what he says here. This is found in Acts chapter 6. He says, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. It's not right for us to give up preaching to serve. It's not right. He says, we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of word. Why? Because that's their gifting. That's how they loved. And it says this saying pleased the whole gathering. Why am I saying this? Because we love people not by presuming that we always have to fill the need. I'm going to wait tables. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. No, you do what God has called you to do. That is how you best love people. Whatever your gifting is, whatever you're equipped to do. And we could go into many different giftings, but that is how God expects us to love, is out of this gifting. Don't presume that if you do a certain thing that you're being loving. Let me just say this. If the apostles would have said, you know what, this is a big need. We're going to give up preaching. We're going to give up praying. And we're just going to start serving tables because this seems to be what the people need. No, it's not what the people need. People don't need that. People need to get some deacons to do it. What the people need is you to pray and you to seek God and you to preach. That's what they need. So it's really important that we don't presume to know much when it comes to this area of love. Love is based out of this inward calling, inward conditioning of what God wants. Let me just close with a couple more things here about virtue. And I want you to turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. He's talking about growing in faith. And he says, for this reason, and this is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. For this reason, make every effort to supplement faith with virtue. Here's this word, virtue. You have faith in God. You believe in God. You're growing in faith in God. Make sure that you add to that virtue. Virtue. And virtue, I said I was going to define what virtue is. The best definition of virtue is being pleasing to God. To have an excellence about you, that you're doing what God wants you to do, therefore you're pleasing God. Remember the Father when he appeared in various different times and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased. And then he even added on the Mount of Transfiguration, listen to him. Jesus came to teach. Jesus came to be about his Father's business, which was teaching. Listen to him. He's pleasing me by his teachings. Listen to him. He's pleasing me. To have virtue is to please God. And you cannot please God unless you know what God wants. And what we know that God wants is he wants us to be patient. He wants us to be kind. He wants us to develop these internal attributes that pleases God. It's not necessarily doing a lot of actions that are just based on presumption. We please God. That's virtue. A couple more scriptures here. Philippians chapter 4. I believe a virtuous life begins in our thinking. Virtue begins by thinking virtuous thoughts. So in Philippians chapter 4, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there be anything excellent, the word excellent is also the word virtue. If there be any virtue, think about these things. In other words, make sure your thinking is virtuous. Something's true, that's good. That's virtuous. Think virtuous thoughts. Something is honorable, think about that. Something is just, think about that. Something is pure, think about that. Something is lovely. Become virtuous in your thinking. Think on what is virtuous. I think we have a thought life that pleases God first, and then from our thought life, it develops into our actions. And then in our actions, we please God by living out of this internal, inward, virtuous life. One more scripture, and then we'll close today. want to look at a person who totally pleased God, totally lived a virtuous life. There's only a few people that live this kind of life. And this is found in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, talking about the faith of Enoch. And this is chapter 11, verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. He was not found because God took him away. Well, why did God take Enoch? Now, before he was taken, here was the testimony. He was commended for having pleased God. He was virtuous. He walked with God. He pleased God. And therefore, God took him because of his virtuous walk. But when you look at Enoch, Enoch's major thing was that he just walked with God. If you go back and look at the Old Testament, it says Enoch walked with God and he was not. All of our life can be based upon just this continual walking with God and having our eyes set on heaven and not on this earth, and allowing God to just develop faith and develop this internal excellence in us. Without faith, it says, it is impossible to please him. Whoever draws near to God must believe that he exists and must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. To have the virtue of love is to become excellent at knowing who God is, at walking with God on a daily basis, and flowing out of the internal gifting that you have and flowing out of the fruits of the Spirit that you have. It's not about a particular action, but it's about a particular lifestyle. Discipline in virtue is really just the discipline of walking in the Spirit with God on a continual basis. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we do so many things in our natural reasoning. We do so many things out of just impulse. So, Father, allow us to begin to become the people that live deeply out of an abided life, being with you, walking with you, knowing your word, knowing your ways, knowing who you are. Father, I pray that you would stir up the gifting of God that is here in this church, that each individual has been equipped by you to love the body in a particular type of way. Some are teachers, some are into hospitality, some are servants. But they are to love this church and love people around this church out of this inward gifting that you have placed within them, Father. If they don't know what the gifting is, Father, I pray that you show it to them. You reveal it to them. And allow us, Lord, to grow up into love. Allow us to become all that you want us to be. And Lord, let us always look at your example. Let us always ask ourselves, are we walking in a way that looks like Jesus? Because Jesus pleased the Heavenly Father in everything he did. Are we living the kind of life that is pleasing God, virtuous, because we're imitating the attitude, we're imitating the lifestyle that Jesus had? Jesus said this, and this is our benediction. He said, greater love has no man than if he lays down his life for his friends. Are you laying your life down for others? Are you doing what God called you to do for the sake of others? Jesus laid his life down. We need to lay our life down.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. Our church is located in Shepton, Pennsylvania. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.